Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our series of studies on the abundant life and what we are and what we bear in relationship to our Lord Jesus, who said, "I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." This is John 10:10. And we've already considered the subject of believers, saints, members, brethren, servants, friends, disciples. Today we wish to consider Christians and perhaps even enter in upon the subject of sons. Now, these are words of relationship, and they constitute the more abundant life when that life is connected with Christ. And life, Christ is the giver of the life. And indeed, we want to consider the fact that Christians bear a semblance to him. Now we read in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 26, and when he had found him, now when he, this is Barnabas, he looked for the Apostle Paul. Perhaps a word of explanation is necessary here. Some of the Christians were driven out of Jerusalem, out of the Holy Land, and they went up as far as Antioch, and they preached the gospel, and a great number of people were saved. Now, there was not a big-name Christian among them. They were just Christians, per se. And so they sent immediately for Barnabas. And Barnabas come up there and assayed the situation and looked around, and he says, "We need Paul." And so he went up to Tarsus, and he found Paul, and he brought him. Now, that's the meaning of the beginning of this verse. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Was this a name of derision? No, I don't think it was. We read later, or earlier in the book of Acts, where those that were unredeemed took knowledge of the disciples that they had been with Jesus. Now that suffix, I-A-N, Christian, is called by grammarians adjectival suffix. How do you like that? Adjectival suffix. Belonging to or like something. To use a modern expression, you've heard of a Bostonian, I-A-N, added to Boston. What does it mean? He's a person that comes from Boston. He belongs in Boston. His business is there. Perhaps his family is there. And indeed, he resembles other Bostonians to a certain degree, at least. It's a word of possession that's added. It's a suffix, adjective suffix, that's added to a word to show a relationship. And that's what we've been talking about in this whole series, is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here that we are related to Christ as a Christian. Now, the word Christian is only used three times in the New Testament. Once it's used, twice other than we have already considered today, it is used once in a favorable aspect in regard to Christian, and in another aspect, the third mention is an unfavorable reflection upon being a Christian. All right, now let's think of the title of Christian as used by King Agrippa in a complimentary way in Acts chapter 26 and verse 27 and 8. King Agrippa, Paul is talking to King Agrippa. Paul, incidentally, we've got to explain this a little. Paul was on the road to Rome. He was a captive of the Roman government. He appealed to the Romans. Rather than to be judged by the Jews, he wanted to be judged by the Romans. Paul himself was a Roman. Perhaps he thought that would give a little leniency to his cause. He had a reason to believe that. Now, King Agrippa is being used by Festus to examine Paul, so that they might know why they were sending him to Caesar. All right. We read there, and Paul gets to the end of his experience of coming to know the Lord, his vision on the road to Damascus. And he comes to King Agrippa, and he says these words, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And then he adds, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto him, and to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, King Agrippa knew something about Christians. And he is using this in a very favorable sense. He is giving honor to the name of Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul adds then, he says, I would that you were not almost like me, but fully like me, with all the blessings added to it. Now, there is the favorable use of the word Christian. Now, Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 4, and verse 16, we read an unfavorable attitude toward Christians. He hints at it this way. You'll see it in verse 16 as I read it. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, why would he suffer as a Christian? Because the name was an ill repute. Because by reason of the fact that he was a Christian, he was being persecuted. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Peter says to don't be ashamed, but if you do suffer as Christians. Now, some held the word in very high esteem. Others didn't. And you know, the world today is exactly the same way. They are trying to rule Christ out of everything in this world today. They will not have prayer in schools. The Christian influence in this nation was begun on a Christian basis. And now today, they are trying to eliminate that name. And there is indeed in the society of some people of this nation, sorry to say, there is a derisive accent given to the word Christian. And now, remember please, Christian has that suffix, I-A-N, it's a suffix, an adjectival suffix, and it means that we are like Christ, we belong to Christ, we're with Christ, and we bear a resemblance to it. And all of these servants, believers, saints, members, and so forth that we've been talking about, compares us with Christ. Oh, to be like Christ is a blessing indeed. Now, on the rest of the broadcast today, I think we're going to enter in upon the most glorious subject of all. That is the fact that of what we are in relation to Christ. We're the sons of God. Now, we read in the scriptures in Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 on. Let's read there. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now God shows us that he had a purpose in all of this. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. It has been well said that God thinks so much of his own dear Son that he wants millions in heaven just like him. And that is his purpose, to conform us to the image of his own dear Son. Now the Spirit has a lot to do with that conformity. But think of it, if you will, the flattery of being made like Christ. And certainly we have a right to expect that God will carry out his purposes. Now, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. And he will see this program through. And during our lives, you and I ought to bear a greater resemblance to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Now, we're sons. It's true. We're sons. But Christ will stand uniquely and supremely alone. He is the only begotten Son in the singular of Christ, of God, rather. He was born of a virgin, and his birth was absolutely unique. And so we are being made like Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ bears this out in his after his resurrection. Let's read in John chapter 20, verses 17 and 18. The Lord has risen from the dead, and he reveals himself first to Mary Magdalene. And she is still standing by the tomb when he reveals himself to her by using the word Mary. And she recognized instantly that Christ had risen from the dead. And the Lord says to her in John chapter 27, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, grieving as they were in Jerusalem, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And then he goes on to say, the verse goes on to say, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that he had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, do you remember what the command of the Lord was? Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. Brethren? Yes, because they're sons. And say unto them, I ascend to my Father. Now Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. If you please, she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Do you know they were skeptical? I suppose they thought, is this a vision of some woman? But I'll tell you, that same day, they learned to see and realize that Christ has risen from the dead. This introduces the subject of sons, which we will pursue in our next broadcast. Our Father, we do thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have that high and holy privilege and be called the sons of God. Help us to appreciate it, we pray, as we give thanks in our Savior's blessed name. Amen.